Some of the songs that we were singing this morning were like, oh my gosh, Mike and I didn't even really get together and talk about it, but I think it's fantastic that the Holy Spirit is, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit's tuned into us and what we're doing? Oh, come on, that was totally opposite. Don't give me an amen on that. Come on. I'm just seeing if you're listening. That ain't no amen. I'm glad that we're tuned into the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, amen. Come on, there you go. I caught you off guard, didn't I? I know, sorry. I know. About what?
Boasting.
Oh, boasting. and I just like went right into it, huh? There's a passage of scripture that it's been gnawing at me for a few weeks now, and I love it that when the Lord gnaws at me, it's the direction I got to go with sharing with you guys. And I'm just so delighted and pleased, and I'm honored to be able to share the Lord's word with you this morning. I think that the Lord is going to do some really neat things in not just learning and understanding, but opening up, revealing that which God wants to do in your life. And some of this stuff you might say, well, yeah, that's been a part of me for a long time now. And other stuff you're going to be like, wow, I never saw it like that before. I believe God's going to do that in different areas today, is just show you stuff. And I'm excited about that. Psalm 34, verse 8 is one of my one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Psalm 34. If I can find it. Oh yeah, there it is. So favorite. I was on the wrong page. Praise the Lord. He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." You know, as we talk about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, it's interesting that he follows that up with, "Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." I just pose a question just to really get you to really get on board with where the direction of what I'm going to talk about this morning is what if, listen to this, what if God's goodness is really not a mystery that He means for us to solve, but what if God's goodness is a truth that He means for us to trust in? Did you hear that? No, listen to that. What if God's goodness is not a mystery for us to solve, but instead a truth that He means for us to just simply trust in? His goodness. I think because we make it, you know, how many times do we talk about God being good, and we talk about, yeah, God is good all the time. God is good. Yeah, hallelujah. Yes, but do we really know, and do we understand, and do I even have a clue as to what God's goodness is? Or maybe do I even believe it? Do I even believe that God is good? Start asking yourself just simple questions like that as you walk with the Lord. Because it very well could be that my reluctance to trust God isn't God's fault. Did you guys hear? Thanks for laughing, because that was really a joke. It's quite possible. I mean, you know, there's a possibility that my reluctance to trust God isn't God's fault. But it's my inability to see how good He is, and that I need to trust Him. Did you guys hear that?
Clean your glasses.
Okay, clean your glasses. That's a good point. That's a good point. How many have you have ever been stuck in a snow avalanche?
Yeah.
An avalanche.
Not quite an avalanche.
For some reason, I was thinking that you probably have.
Yeah.
Okay, let me even ask it. How many have ever been buried in an avalanche? Okay, let me tell you something. The probability of you being killed in an avalanche is extremely low. I mean, it rarely ever happens, but it does happen. So, David probably knows this because he's probably thought of this just in case it ever happens. But just in case, You happen to be snowboarding, and you get stuck in an avalanche. An avalanche happens, and you get buried. What do you do? You try to find the top, right? Do you know that it's reported that that is the most difficult thing to do with people who are buried in an avalanche? It does happen, is to find the top. No, and they've said that, yeah, to actually survive, to find the top, you spit. That's what you do. So David knows this. I'm teaching the rest of you something that David already knows. Is you spit, because it's actually been reported that there's been many people who have been buried in an avalanche, and they started digging to the direction that they thought was out, and they actually dug themselves deeper. There's one guy that they found that he had dug 30 feet deeper. He thought he was going up, and he was going down, simply because he didn't find out which way was up. So he dug the wrong direction. So it's very simple. Just in case, I just want to, it's really easy, okay, guys? If you don't feel like spitting, you could find something you could drop, whether it's a snow piece of snow or something. But if you do get buried in an avalanche, dig away from your face a little bit and spit. And whichever way the spit falls, go the opposite direction, right? It's called gravity. It continues to work everywhere that we are. And just dig. Go the opposite direction and keep digging until you reach the top, right? So if the spit falls back in your face, which direction do you go? Yeah, exactly. If it falls that way, then go that way. But here's what I wanted to point out in that, and I think it's interesting, is as Xavier said it, just clean your glasses. I'm wondering how much of us are digging the wrong direction. If he says for us to simply taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man who trusts in him. How many of you, and I'm hoping it's a unanimous, isn't it a trick question, just want to be blessed? Right? Okay, another word that we might be able to use is happy. How many of you would like to be happy? Hallelujah. I hope everybody. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that is walking around thinking, I just don't want to be happy. I really don't want to be happy. I am looking for ways to be miserable. If anybody can find ways for me to be miserable, give me a wife that hates me. Give me a debt that I can't get out of, and that's what I want. No. We want to be happy. I got to tell you guys this. So I think if we find out how to do that, that's what I want to just talk about this morning, how to do that, how to actually trust the Lord, to be blessed, to be happy, because that's what we want. We want to be happy in life. Hello? You guys with me? Does anybody want to be happy? Okay, good. You guys, how many of you like to eat? I love to eat. I got to tell you what I did last night. My wife and daughter are out of town, so I'm home alone. And I like to eat. So, let me tell you what I did. I'm going to get your taste buds flowing, cuz this was awesome last night what I did. I did it all by myself, too. Forgive me if I had some stuff to do until about, like, 4 or 5 o'clock. I was doing stuff, and, man, it's like there's this great grocery store that's on my way home. And I went into this grocery store called Sprouts, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I just really want something so tasty. And I like to eat, but here's what I like to do also. I like to smoke. I know, meat. I was hoping somebody would be like, oh, but it didn't. Nobody really took. I guess you guys know me too well. I like to smoke meat. I love to smoke meat, and I've gotten a green egg smoker that I love to use, and it's so much fun. But I've discovered by smoking meat that my wife really doesn't like smoked meat. I'm like, what do? I got to find times to smoke meat that's like so, because she's like, I don't like all that smoky flavor. Like, well, I do, so who wins? So I don't smoke meat that much. Except when she leaves town. It's like, oh, man, I stopped at the store, and I think I looked in the case, the most expensive steak that they made. And I didn't care what it was. It's like, I looked for the highest price, and I think I'm going to splurge and get the best. This thing, this ribeye, was like an inch and a half thick, man. Oh, my gosh, and it had fat, like, curled in throughout it, and it was like, oh, my gosh. And this guy was wrapping it, and I'm like, sitting there like, this thing looked tasty, just raw. I wanted to just, can I just eat it like that? And he goes, no, you probably ought to cook it. So I'm like, oh, so I get home, and I look up through the great resources of the internet, the best ribeye smoked recipe that I could find. And all it said was simply like salt and pepper. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to do what they say and do it like they say. And I did it to the T, exactly what they said to do. And oh, my goodness. Oh, there's nothing else on my plate but a ribeye that took up the whole plate. And this thing tasted so good. Oh, I sat there and just like, this is the life, man. I was all by myself in this big house. Nobody there, but man, it was the tastiest piece of meat that I had. And I thought, this is awesome. Oh, I'm thirsty. The juices that flowed out of that thing. Oh, I wish, you know, we like to watch this show called The Food Network and stuff, and they describe flavors. I was thinking, how do they make it sound so good? Well, they're just trained to do that. And I'm not trained to do that, but I'm telling you, this was really, really good. And I thought, it's like, man, this is where he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. In talking about that, did I whet your appetite to go get a ribeye steak? But here's what I'm going to tell you what I actually did. And I realized I did it because the thing I didn't do that, and listen to this, so let's get back to what the Lord wants to do this morning. The one thing I didn't do was make you hungry. I just whet your appetite and instilled within you by word pictures a craving for something that you believe and trust me that it was good. Have you ever tried to taste really good food when you're not hungry? I mean, when you're full, like you just don't want to eat anymore? Have you ever tried it? How does it do something other than just like make you almost sick? So in tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, and this is what the Lord showed me a couple weeks ago, is the first step in that, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good, is to recognize your need for the Lord. In other words, there's got to be an acknowledgement, a recognition, even a submission to the reality that I'm hungry. And until we come to the place of actually being hungry, the goodness of the Lord will not taste as the goodness of the Lord. You guys tracking with me on that? A ribeye steak that you try to eat when you're plumb full isn't really all that good. In fact, it would be a waste. Hello? You guys following with me? So what I want us to do, all I'm going to do this morning is give us the identification of your hunger spots. Places that you can go to and recognize that that's a place of hunger. Okay? It's really simple. It's one of the simplest things I've run across lately that I didn't realize it was that actually this simple, is in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, is what Jesus speaks. He starts out with what is called the blessed R's. The Beatitudes, we've labeled them, described them as, which I don't know if that's a proper description, especially after I've discovered what I think the Lord is. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, has always been like one of the places in Scripture that I just can like go to over and over and over and over. I can never get enough of it. I mean, so much so that I feel like I just want to eat every ounce and word that is in that, because it's the perfect sermon. It's the perfect message. It's the sermon that Jesus gave, and it's so real and so convicting, and just speaking right to my soul. It becomes the food for my very soul and spirit. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I have read it, and I think in every translation that exists, and I've read it at least 1,000 times. I'm not exaggerating, because I love it so much. I've listened to it to where I've actually made an attempt to memorize the whole thing, and I thought, I want to, because I just love it, and I can't get enough of it. So, and yet at the same time, I've read this just about a week and a half ago, and I thought, oh my God, I'd never seen it so plain and simple as I'm seeing it right here and now. And it's taking this thought pattern within this is when he talks about the Beatitudes, the blessed R's, he starts with blessed are the poor in spirit. And this is in verse 3 of chapter 5. And it goes all the way to blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And that's in verse 10. I want you to understand, and really quick, that yes, there is a progression of what God is developing in us. You guys, in that there's almost like steps of blessings that come with it. All the way from the start, which is blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To me, that's like this opening up of, I recognize my spiritual poverty. I realize, I see my need for Jesus. And in that becomes, salvation begins, birth begins. I was born in Zion, born again. So for me to be born again, I need to recognize my need to be born again. Hello? It's just common sense, right? All the way to the point of where he says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for my name's sake, to that element, because at that place there's such a dying to self that everything I do becomes for the glory of God. That actually, if you do everything, if you do good things, and if you do everything for God's glory in Jesus' name, you will be persecuted. People don't like it. I'm telling you, what I've discovered in trying to be a good person is people like good people, but they don't want you to give credit to Jesus who's making you good. Hello? They want you to take the credit for being good. I get it all the time. You're such a good person. It's like, I ain't good for nothing without Jesus. And it really throws people for a loop to where they almost want to persecute you. Because then they got to deal with their own self. They're thinking, wait, I don't even measure up to half of what you do. And you're telling me that you ain't nothing? You're good for nothing? And it's all because of Jesus? It's like, well, that's just not right. And they want to persecute you in the name of, because of righteousness, right standing, right living in the name of Jesus. Hello? Amen. But I believe it's a progression that takes place. Yes, and so I'm not going to, what I'm saying all that, I'm not going to deal with that progression this morning, even though it's there. You guys track with me on that for a second? Even though I said all that, I want you to not focus on the progression of the Beatitudes. But it's there. So go home and read it and get the progression for yourself. Do you guys, hello? Yeah. Okay, good. So what are we going to look at this morning? The need of hunger. Our hunger need. I believe that Jesus gives us this, and he starts this out so that we dig in the right direction. So that we dig in the right direction. The word blessed also can be translated, and it's translated in many different versions as happy. I also take it to the place of being satisfied, fulfilled, blessed, happy, satisfied, fulfilled. So when we look to be happy, when we look to be fulfilled, he says, here's how you do it. Here's the right direction to dig. Hello? So let's look for the right direction to dig. And when we discover the right direction to dig, it makes sense to do one thing. I think it makes sense as we discover this. So I'm giving this as a kind of a forewarning. Is if you're digging in the right direction, let's just say this. You're in an avalanche. You got stuck in an avalanche, and there's a whole bunch of people that got stuck there with you. You figure out how to get to the top. You see that gravity is that way, so I'm going this way. Well, as you're digging, what do? You see somebody that's digging in the other direction. What? You wouldn't just look at him and say, well, that's kind of stupid. You know, why are you going that way? What are you going to do? You're going to say, hey, you're going in the wrong direction, my friend. Let's go this way. This way is up. Hello? So there's going to be a requirement on you to help others dig in the right direction too. So let's go for it. Let's go for it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What I'm saying that we need to look at is this very thing. It requires for you to even receive and enter into the kingdom of heaven, you have to identify and come to the realization that you are spiritually poor within yourself. In yourself, you have no spirituality. It's only in Christ and only in Jesus that we have any life form within us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Listen to this. As you, to get comfort in mourning, do you think of as mourning? Mourning is not in the, you know, mourning time is in the M-O-U-R-N. Blessed are those who are sad, those who are mourning, those who are repentful. To get to that place, you have to also identify within yourself a lack to make yourself happy. Have how many of you ever heard, it's like, well, just think of positive things. Go to a happy place and everything will be okay. That doesn't work. That doesn't work unless Jesus is in that happy place. Do you understand me? So it comes to this place of you cannot tap into anything within yourself to try to make yourself happy, to try to cheer yourself up. We've tried to do that. We call it psychology. We've tried to do that. We call it self-help. We try to do that. We call it narcissism, where we just think of me. And it doesn't work. It doesn't cheer us up. It doesn't make us happy. Hello? Anybody else try to do it on your own? And it doesn't work. So the comfort comes from a place when we say, I need Jesus to do the inner work within me to give me the peace and the joy that I cannot attain on my own, that I can't get a hold of without Jesus. Hello? Amen. So I'm going to keep going. And if you feel like interjecting, go for it. Because I'm going to go through these pretty quick. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This one's a fun one to talk about because I think it's interesting to get. If you think about this, let me. What Jesus is doing also in this, the beginning of this message, is he's doing something that I call it disrupting. He's disrupting the natural flow of humankind. So what does it mean to disrupt?
My thought would be, you would think that the rich and famous would inherit the earth.
Exactly. Everything he's doing, that's a good thought, Steve, is that he's disrupting the natural flow of things to where, because the natural flow is going in a direction that is all about me. It's self-centeredness. It's worldliness. Satan is still the prince of the power of the air, driving people to be selfish all the way to the pit of hell. So Jesus is coming in and he's disrupting. To disrupt. I love it. It's in the dictionary. It's a simple word. It says to cause disorder or turmoil. To destroy the normal continuance of unity or to interrupt. Jesus is doing that in this message. He's doing that. He's disrupting the enemy's pattern to take us down to hell with them. To just think about me. So let's do this. When he talks about meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? It's always been so many people get confused on that one because it seems interesting that, or backwards than what they think. The meek. Go ahead. Are we going to give it a shot?
Yeah.
Okay. That's actually really good. Really, really, really good. The meek are those who recognize that their strength is not within themselves, but their strength comes from God and God alone. How opposite is that of what the world says to do and to be? Be strong in yourself. Know who you are. You know, you can do anything you set your heart and mind to. That's a lie, by the way. Just in case you didn't know that. That is an absolute lie. Do everything and anything that God puts in your heart to do. So it's this, be strong in you. And that's the absolute opposite of what meekness is. Opposite is my strength. And all of my strength is in the Lord. And only in the Lord. It's not in myself. Hallelujah. David, you were going to share or say something. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Teachable. I like that. He said, blessed are those who are teachable. What the thing that it's a cute little cliche, I think, is, but it helps me to get it and understand it. Humility to me is that teachability and that understanding and knowing who I am not. Meekness is knowing who I am in Christ. Humility is knowing who I am not. I am not all that. Meekness is knowing who I am in the Lord. And so it's a strength within myself that I don't get from myself, but I get from the Lord. Hello? So when he says that you inherit the earth, I believe it's who God says, if you trust me, blessed is the man who trusts in me. He said, I will place you in places of leadership, rulership. I will place you in the world, in the places in the world that you actually will have authority in and over. Not just in the world, but in the spiritual realms also. So he's saying that you trust me, you put your strength in me, and let me put you where I place you. And it will be a place of authority and leadership. Hello? As opposed to trying to take it on my own. Hello? You guys with me? Okay. You guys seeing how this is a recipe, a pattern that God is giving to us to actually be satisfied and happy. So when I chase after me, 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 and be strong in me, guess where I'm digging? I'm digging with gravity. And satisfaction, fulfillment, and happiness, and blessedness isn't going to come with it. You guys following with me on that? We might think it will, and actually the devil likes to deceive us and trick us into thinking that we're going in the right direction. All along we're going in the wrong direction. Chase after you. Puts you number one. You got to look out for yourself. I deserve to be happy, don't I? Who, Jesus?
Satan.
Oh, Satan, yeah, absolutely. Thank you, good call. You guys with me? Woo, yes, okay, I'm getting there. Because there's actually the one I want to get to the most that's pretty fun. They're all pretty good. You guys with me? You over there? All right, good. Okay, let's see. Okay. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That hunger and thirst, it's got to come. It has to come. Recognizing my need for nourishment that is real nourishment. Do you hear me? Nourishment that is real nourishment. Yes, I painted the picture of a juicy steak. And if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, I'm sorry if I offended you. And I'm sorry that you're a vegan. Cow. I know there's some in here probably somewhere, and that's okay. You're probably going to keep your mouth shut now because, yeah. But for some reason, a veggie burger did not, like, do the trick for painting a picture. Yeah. Nothing against veggie burgers. Just not for me. I don't think I've ever eaten one ever. Somebody's going to try to, like, force feed me a veggie burger or trick me to eat one and, yeah. Smoke it, it's okay.
Even doing that.
Smoke a veggie burger? Yeah. Yeah. I like just about everything and anything. I don't think I haven't discovered a food I haven't liked. I'm serious. It's a weird thing. I don't think there's anything I could think of that I just don't like. I would say, oh, I don't like that. I don't want to eat it. There used to be things. Kale's done in the right way. I like it. Yeah, I just, yeah. Anyway, let's go on. Let's get back. Let's get back. I know. It's like, dude, you got to let us out. It's almost lunchtime. Listen, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You have to come to this place in identifying and realizing that you are not good in and of yourself. Your right standing and righteousness is really just dirty, filthy rags in the presence of God. So when we seek after, when we hunger and thirst for God and His righteousness, we have to first identify and realize and accept and actually come to the place of confessing that I am not capable of being good and righteous within and of myself. Do you guys follow with me on that? Because until you do, listen. And if you don't come to that place, you'll be simply trying to force feed and shove a delicious, juicy steak into a belly that's already full and so overfull with non-nourishment food that it won't have space for the good stuff that's supposed to be there. Hello? And it's a simple thing. It's simple. Almost just empty yourself of trying to be good on your own and receive and understand and accept that I need you, Jesus, to be the goodness in me. And it what that will do, it will drive within you a hunger and a thirst for His right standing and His righteousness in your life. Hello? Okay. I thought that was pretty good preaching. I didn't get any much amens, but I thought that was pretty good. Well, that's not how it's supposed to work. You guys, blessed are the merciful. Now you're hungry. Amen. Me too. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This one's a fun one to talk about. How many of you think that mercy is just withholding judgment on people? It involves and it has to involve forgiveness. But let me tell you, mercy, and I'm going to just speak just right to the point of this, and it's going to convict us because it's what it is intended to do. Mercy is an action. It's an action that involves doing something kind and good. But if the opportunity arises for you to need to give mercy to somebody, guess what has happened beforehand? Just take a wild guess. They wronged you. They, whoever it is, wronged you. You don't give mercy to somebody that's just driving by, minding their own business. What kind of mercy is that? That ain't mercy. That's nothing. You've done nothing. Oh, I didn't drive them off the edge of the road. I showed mercy. No, you didn't. You just were doing the right thing, being human. Mercy involves being hurt, being harmed, being wronged, and then giving back something. Actually, it's an act of kindness and goodness into their life. So much so, it's mercy is just not killing them. That's not mercy, right, brother? To some, maybe it is. I know. Sorry. Let me tell you what Paul said. Listen to this in Romans chapter 12, verse 20. It says Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Says therefore. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Let me explain to you this that I think that we need to understand and understand it rightly. I think that can be misconstrued as coals that drive that person to a burning envy because you're so good. And that's not what it means. Listen to what it actually means. And it's in context of the culture. In the culture of this day that Paul is speaking this, there was what is known as a community fire. That in this community fire, the hot coals would stay burning to where that community fire would be the source of light, the source of heat in the surrounding homes in the community. And your enemy is one that is now, because he was so evil, listen to this. This is a picture of these paintings. He was so bad, he stole your own bucket to go get that fire coal so that you can have heat for your own home. Hello? He stole your bucket so that you can provide for your home. So he's wronged you. And what Paul is saying, get out of here, train. This is a good one. What Paul is saying is that you now, as a believer in Christ who trusts Jesus, who trusts and say, wants to taste and see that the Lord is good and trust Him and follow Him and be a disciple of Jesus, what you're called to do now is take some form of getting to those coals as this enemy now is trying to get to the coals before they burn out. He's trying to get to the coals before they burn out. Because now this enemy of yours, who's basically made it impossible for you now to do anything that's good for you to provide for your family, he's saying, find a way to get coals for him and bless him. And because how they would carry the coals on their, they would carry them on their head back to their camp, back to their home. Because coals carried on the heat goes up. It's not going to burn anything. You're carrying coals like this, you're going to get... But if you carry them with a pad on your head, that's how you get these hot coals to your home that would provide heat, that would provide light, that would provide a source for cooking in your very own home. He's saying, you as a believer now, even though he's wronged you, take some hot coals of your very own, that which is in your home, and place them on his head so that he can have hot coals and get back to his home. Do you see what he's saying there? That's not to heap on coals so that he burns down with, no. That's not that. It's an act of kindness. Hello? Don't get me excited. I know, because we don't like to teach it like that. We like the other way. We like the other way where it says, oh, it's heaping coals on their head so they burn down with this whatever. I don't know. To me, it's like so out of context to even think of it that way. Because you think about it, oh, an enemy is... Give him something good so that he, what, suffers? No. It's so that you be kind to him and they see something different in you. They see Jesus in you. And they might even persecute you for it. Jesus said they would. Do your acts of kindness and goodness so that men may see your good deeds and glorify God. But guess what they're going to do as they glorify God? They might persecute you in the meantime. Wow. Came to church this morning, didn't we? Woo. Okay, I'll finish up. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The purity of your heart. How do you get a pure heart to see God? To some of us, we sit and we say, that's even beyond my even comprehension. And I'm going to tell you, if you believe it's beyond your ability to come to, you're in the best place possible. Because your heart needs God's Spirit to purify it. Your heart on your own is not good. In fact, the person that sits here this morning and says, I don't think I could get there, is probably got one of the most purest hearts that exists. The person that sits here and says, my heart's good, is probably the farthest away from a pure heart. And I say that with extreme caution to just try to get us to understand that there's the only purity of heart that you can come to is first recognizing and admitting that yours isn't. Hello? Amen. And in that is when we see God. Because if we think our heart is good enough on its own, and we think our heart's good, guess who you're going to see when you do good stuff? Not God. You're going to see a mirror. Say, look how good I am. Look how good I am. So when we see the ugliness of our heart, we see the grace of God flowing through us. We see God. Only in seeing and identifying the ugliness of our heart. That's deep, huh? That's deep. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You know, a peacemaker is different than a peacekeeper. You guys have heard this before. I talked about it before. It's more than just being a peacekeeper. It's being a peacemaker. That means a peacemaker is somebody that puts themselves on the line, on the front line. Basically surrenders of themselves and says, I'm going to do what it takes to make peace. I'm going to do what it takes to make peace. A peacemaker, guess what has to exist for there to be a need for a peacemaker? Turmoil, a fight, a conflict. And a conflict is going to require somebody, for there to be made peace, somebody to humble themselves and step into it and say, let's make peace. It's asking forgiveness. It's asking for forgiveness when you know that the other person has wronged you. And still asking for forgiveness. Hello? That's heavy. That's heavy, but it's real. I believe this is the real, and I believe this is what he's talking about here, is it's the right direction to dig, to get satisfaction, to be blessed, to be fulfilled, to be happy, is dig in the right direction. Do the things that Jesus said to do. Be open to surrendering to yourself, submitting to God's will in your life. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He says, when you know, remember when Jesus had the conversation with the woman at the well, and he had this great conversation, and the disciples came to him, and they said, hey, Jesus, you should get something to eat. And he said, no, I don't need any food. And they thought, oh, who's been feeding him? Who fed him? And he said, no, my food, this is in John chapter 4, verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you hear that? So, the food that brings nourishment to his very soul, he was declaring it to do God's will. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see. Be about the Father's business. Taste and see, and you'll be blessed, blessed, happy, satisfied, fulfilled. Hello? I believe it. If we're chasing fulfillment in something, and I won't even go across the board because I think I can, but I will for just a second. You know, when we chase fulfillment in finances and money, we're going to be let down. It's not going to do it. When we chase fulfillment in a marriage, in a relationship, it won't do it. And I'm not saying we just like leave everything and don't do anything. When we chase fulfillment in raising kids, having children, it won't do it. It won't do it. When we chase fulfillment in even serving in the church, guess what? It won't do it. It won't do it. But when we chase God and we strive after God, all those things are going to come into play. You'll be a great parent. You'll have a great relationship. You can have and you can even have a lot of money. You can. You don't have to be poor to be a Christian. I don't know who ever told you that lie, but if you think that's true, it's not true. It's not true. You could have to give. That's a good thing. Amen. I'm glad there's many in this, in our small church that have when we have needs. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. All the way to the end, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, rejoice, 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 and be exceedingly glad. Did you hear what he just said? This is Jesus saying this, by the way. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when people say bad stuff about you. For my name's sake. If you're just a tool and people say bad stuff about you, then just own it. Do you guys get what that meant? Okay. I'm not going to say, I could have said a whole lot of things there that probably wouldn't have been good. No, I was not calling you a tool. But if you are one, own it. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Great is your reward. Did you hear that? Just very simply, great is your reward when you dig in the right direction. When you seek after the blessed life that's spelt out, that's described, that's listed here, that is given to us. Look into it. Research your very own heart. Ask God to reveal areas that you might be chasing fulfillment in something that is in the wrong direction. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit is on your side. He loves you. He's for you. He's for you. If you say, Lord, show me, guess what he'll do? He'll show you. He'll show you a lot better than I can. You know, I'm a man that need to be shown also. I may not be too kind and too merciful, but he sure will. Let me finish this and let's pray and worship, and we're going to pray for us, each other. Let us be content with who we are in Christ, but always striving and trudging. I like that word, Alfonso and I talked about it, which is going forward always in the midst of trial. Let us be content with who we are in Christ, but always striving and trudging to be great by becoming a servant to all. One last statement I think is pretty neat. I believe we can rest assured that no one will enter into heaven saying, I wish I had just done a little bit less. I don't think so. So let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy, your kindness, your goodness. Just even that very phrase, you are good. You are good. Oh Lord, show us how good you are. Reveal to us. May we see your goodness. May we taste your goodness. May we smell your goodness. May we touch your goodness. May we sense your goodness. In Jesus' name, we thank you for how good you are and how good you are to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.